So glad that you are here today. Let's jump right into this new series we're starting today. I'm calling this series, Am I Really Saved? Am I Really Saved? You know, probably one of the number one questions I get as a pastor over the several years in ministry has been this question: how do I know I'm really saved? Am I really saved? And I see believers who come in, who raise their hand every other week to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because they do not understand, am I really saved? Am I not? So I'm just gonna be careful. I'm just gonna make sure that I'm right with God, because Pastor, I didn't live that great this past week. And so I believe today this series is gonna help you grow. You, every believer, needs to know the foundation of this series. The foundation of this series is God's grace. And you need to understand it in your life so that not only does it set you free, but it also allows you to explain it to non-believers or new Christians that you're also sharing with, that you're also encouraging, that you know how to explain this in a way that they can understand and you understand. And some people are like, I just don't understand it. Well, today we're going to jump right into it, and we're going to help you understand. I believe it's going to become crystal clear to you as we look at the word of the Lord. So I was raised in a fear-based Christianity. Anybody relate to that? You better turn or burn, right? One sin in your life and you missed heaven. And so I couldn't, as a child and as a young teenager, I couldn't sleep at night until I closed my eyes and I prayed to God, God, forgive me my sins today. If you come tonight while I'm asleep, don't let me miss heaven. Every night I was praying that prayer over and over again. And when I had one sin in my life, I felt guilty, like I wasn't good enough for God, like I didn't belong to God. And I just, what's the sense of trying if I can't live this life, you know? And I struggled with that. We call that term, it's a better term, we call legalism. It's a lot of legalism. If you don't live right, then God doesn't accept you. If you have just even one sin or a few sins, God is kicking you out. You better make sure you're living right. That others I know were just the exact opposite. They believe once you get saved, you can just live how you want to. Hey man, don't tell me how to live my life. I've already asked God to forgive me my sins. And so, man, it's party time, because now I can't miss heaven. And it's like, you know, everything's a big party. You can do what you want now that I've done this, and now I can live how I want to. We call that hyper grace. Okay, so we have one side of the spectrum was a legalism, which you have one sin and you're out of heaven. Then we have other people who are in this hyper grace, was like, grace just covers everything. I can live how I want to. And can I say today that both of those are actually wrong? What we're gonna hope to do in this series is to find the balance. Everybody say the word balance. Balance. That's important, that you have balance in your biblical understanding of God's grace in your life. And when you get the balance of the scripture, it gives you the sweet spot where you can live free for Him. How many say, I want to live free today? I want you to live free, and I want to open the scripture up. So we're just going to open up the word of the Lord, and we're going to look at it and see and find this balance. We want you to be free today. And we're going to have a biblical understanding. It's important that you have a biblical understanding and definition of my salvation, what it means, am I really saved? We're going to understand what the blood of Jesus means and how it applies to our life. Let me ask you a question today. Are you righteous? Whoa. It's a biblical term we see a lot used. He makes us righteous. Only the righteous, you know, we got to be righteous. So what does it mean to be righteous? Let's look at it in Romans 4. Now, Romans 4, let's read verses 1 through 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found it according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified, I mean saved, by works, he has something to brag about, to boast about, but not before God. For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, let's say the bold letters together, and it was accounted, one more time, it was accounted to him for, it was given to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. See, this is important that we have understanding here, that it was accounted to Abraham righteousness. It was accounted, it was given into his account righteousness. Everything we have in life is either a gift to us or we earned it. Right? Everything we have in life, either we earned it or somebody gave it to us. One or the other. And so today, is your salvation given to you or do you earn it? How do we understand that? We're going to look at that and understand when it comes to being righteous. Am I righteous because I earned it, or am I righteous because it's given to me? If I went and asked 100 random people today out in the community, what does it take to get to heaven? The majority, the biggest majority, would say something like, just be a good person. Do more good than you do bad. That would probably be the most popular answer that we would get from people. Just try to live by the golden rule. Just try to be good. The only problem with that, even though it's a great answer, is that it puts all of that based on our performance. I only get to heaven if I perform good. I only get to heaven if I'm a good person. I only get to heaven if I do good works. If I only do enough good things, will God accept me? The problem with this answer, it makes God love and forgiveness based on our performance. Listen, I don't worship God based on my performance. If I do, some weeks I'm worshiping God strong. Other weeks, I'm like, I don't deserve to be worshiping God. And I think that happens a lot. Some of us here, we have a great week, and we're like, woo, hallelujah. We're praising really good. And when you struggle during the week, you come in like, it's a struggle just to get my hands out of my pocket and give God a courtesy praise. Because I am feeling guilty. I am feeling like I am not very righteous. Therefore, I have no business worshiping God today. Pastor, if you knew what I was doing this weekend. We do. We got social media. We all know where you've been. All right, I'm just telling you. It's all right. Listen, I don't worship God based off how I perform. I worship God based on what he did on the cross to free me of my sins. And the minute I put worship on my performance, I've taken away the main thing about worship. Worship is God, even when I didn't deserve it, you died for me. Even when I didn't deserve it, God, you gave your only son for me. Even when I was lost, even when I was in rebellion, even when I denied you, you first loved me. I will forever lift up my eyes. I will forever open my voice. I will forever not let anything take my praise. Not let anything take my worship. Why? Because my worship is not based on whether or not I have a good week or a bad week. It's based on what Jesus has already done on the cross. Someone say amen. It's based on that. God's standard is perfection. That's a lot of pressure on you and I, right? His standard, as we see in the Old Testament, as I talked about, God had a lot of judgment. Remember we talked about how God judged really harshly in the Old Testament because he was painting a picture that his standard is perfection. And we also see that you and I will never match perfection on our own. And I'm going to prove it to you. Some of you goody tissues think you're all great. But I'm going to show you today. How many today say, Pastor, I'm just going to be honest. I've committed a lot of sin in my life. Maybe you're like me. Raise your hand. That's you. If you join me today, say, I've committed a lot of sin in my life. All right. How many today say, Pastor, I've sinned some, but not a lot. Anybody want to raise your hands? That's me. Okay. Come on now. Some of you need to raise your hand for repentance right now. You just raised your hand. I saw you. Can I tell you, whether you raised your hand because you got a couple of sins or you raised your hand because you got a lot of sins, we're all guilty. Because God's standard is what? Perfection. And we understand this in James 2:10. Look what it says. It makes it very, very clear. For the person who keeps all the laws except one is as guilty as the person who has broken all of God's laws. That's not my definition. This is the biblical definition. If you got one sin or you got a million sins, we're all just as guilty. We all need a Savior. We all need Jesus' blood applied to our life. One sin is guilty because God's standard is perfection. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Look what Romans 4:3 says. For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed. Let's say, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed in God. It was given into his spiritual account righteousness. Meaning what? Righteousness. What is righteousness? It means simply, think about it, right standing with God. To be made righteous means you are in right standing with God. Don't overcomplicate that term, okay? It simply means I am standing before the Lord in right standing. How do we do this? How do we understand this? See, right standing means this. It's about our position with God. I'm in right standing with God, not my performance with God. Your salvation, your righteousness is not based on your performance. It's based on your position in the kingdom. And I'm going to prove it to you today, and I want you to see this. Our minds are so conditioned into earning people's love and acceptance. That's the way we live our life. I've got to earn people's love and acceptance. And so if we're not careful, that same thing rolls over into our relationship with God. I know he died on the cross for me. I know you tell me he loves the world and he loves me, but I've got to earn his love. I gotta let God know I love him. I gotta earn his love. I gotta earn God's acceptance. I know he calls me a child of God, but I've still gotta earn his favor and earn his acceptance in my life. We automatically become performance-based. Listen, it's a natural thing. We automatically wanna perform to earn God's love. Did you ever grow up and have that one crazy friend that if your parents really knew how crazy they were, they wouldn't let you hang out with them? I guess that's just me. All right. And you invite that friend over to your house, and your parents are like, hey, come on. They give them the best chair in the house. Your mom's like, what would you guys like for dinner? And they ask your friend, what would you like? And they cook their meal. They go to the store to get ice cream, and they get the flavor they want. Your mom is like, "What? Well, let's let them pick what we want to watch on TV." And you're in the back, they're just going out of their way to treat your friend really, really. They treat your friend better than they treat you. And in your mind, you're thinking, if you only knew how crazy and messed up this friend was, you probably wouldn't even let me bring him into the house, Mom. You probably wouldn't let me bring him home for dinner, Dad. This person's crazy. Maybe you was that friend. Maybe you brought that friend home. But you know why your parents treat them so well? Not based on your friend's performance. They treat them well based off of their relationship with their child. Come on now, think about it. They are treating them well. They are bringing them well. They're including them as a part of the family, not because of what your friend did, but because of their relationship with their son or with their daughter. They are bringing them a part of the family because they have a relationship with the son. Come on, you understand where I'm going with this today. God doesn't treat us based off our performance. He treats us and blesses us based off of our relationship with his son. This is why we can receive the grace of God. This is why you and I can receive the righteousness of God. It's not based on my performance. It's based on my relationship with the Son. Let me ask you this question. Does me living right, look at this. Does me living right make me righteous? Or does me being made righteous make me want to live right? See, we're going to have a clear understanding. I cannot be righteous on my own. But when I understand that because of my relationship with the Son, the Father makes me righteous, it should in turn propel me to want to live right. If you understand grace in your life and you think it's a free pass to go out and live and sin for the rest of your life, then you have missed the story and the definition of grace. No, my understanding of God's righteousness says, oh, he forgave me while I was yet a sinner. He forgave me before I loved him, before I accepted him. He already forgave me. He already died for me. He's already bringing me into the house and treating me well. Even when I was out living a prodigal lifestyle, he brought me back into the table, surrounded me with his love, surrounded me with the blessing when I didn't deserve it. Why? Because I have been included into the family of God. When I understand how big God's grace is in my life, it makes me want to live and please the Lord. It makes me want to live for the Lord. It should propel me to say, I want to live a life that pleases the Father. Which one is righteous? We understand this. I want you to get this question here today. Let's say tomorrow morning you wake up. Alarm goes off and you wake up and you go, oh man, I had a full 8 hours of sleep. The coffee's already brewing. You go down and take a good drink. Nice, warm, fresh brew coffee. Jump in the shower. You don't have to wait. The shower's already warm. Boom, hot water hits you. Yeah, that's great. Get out in your best favorite towel, all fluffy, sitting there warm above the vent. You take it, dry off, this is great. You get your favorite pair of socks there, and you get down and you head out the door. And when you get out the door, the ball comes flying over the fence that the kids kicked from the neighbor's yard, and you catch it perfectly right before it hits your car. And you roll back over the fence saying, hey kids, hey, have a good day. You get out of your car and you drive and you hit every green light heading to work. I mean, you're making work in record time. You get out and you get there and only to find out that your favorite parking spot closest to the building is available. And you park right there and you get out, sun's shining. You're there early. You see an old lady needs help across the street and you go and you help the old lady across the street before you go into work. You walk into work and everybody says your name and smiles. We're glad you're here. You're like, this is a great day. But you ever had a day opposite of that? You wake up and realize you overslept. Your alarm's been going off for 20 minutes. You gotta hurry up. You turn on the shower. It's cold. You go to dry off and all you got is a little hand towel. And you're trying to dry off that little hand towel. It's not doing the job. Can't find your socks. You got to wear a pair of unmatching socks because you can't find the right socks to wear. You're putting on your clothes and run out the door. There's no coffee made. You're upset. You go outside. The kids next door kick the ball over the fence and it hits your car right in front of you. You take that ball and you kick it down the street and say, you kids, be careful. Kick their ball down the street. How dare you hit my car? Get on your car and you drive to work and you hit every red light possible. Now you're running late for work and you're trying to get there and there's no good parking places, and in your attempt to hurry into your space, there's an old lady who needs help to cross the street, but you're in a hurry and so you hit the puddle of water and you splash her, ignoring her, and go in, park into your place and run into the job, and everybody's like, you're late. You're like, I know. Leave me alone. It's been a bad day already. You ever had those days? Which one is a righteous and which one's not? They both are. Because righteousness is not based on whether we're having a good day or a bad day. Righteousness is not based on whether I have a great attitude or a bad attitude. Righteousness is not based on whether I've done some good works that day or I haven't done good works. Righteousness is based on my position in the family. Come on now. It's not based on performance. Did Abraham earn it? Look what it says in verse 2. Let's read it again. Romans 2:4-2. For if Abraham was justified by works, if he earned it, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What's he mean? There's no bragging before God. There will be no pride. There will be no bragging before God. God resists the proud. God is not interested in our bragging. He won't allow us to brag to God, okay? We can brag on God, but we can't brag on ourselves. It's not gonna happen. So he said, if Abraham was saved by his good works, then he could brag. But there's no bragging to God. It's not going to happen. Then verse 4, look what it says. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. So if you work for it, you're only not getting grace, you're getting a debt paid off. Saying this, that you cannot work for grace. Grace is freely given to you and I. It can only be received, given, received, and accepted. That's why it's grace. I can't earn it. I can't purchase it because it's already been bought for by the Son. So you've got to understand, Abraham didn't earn his salvation, and he's our father. Let me best explain it to you this way. Look at this chart. Let's say there's three different people here. You got someone like me, Gene, who is my account, my spiritual account. This is the way it looks. A lot of sin, a little bit of right. I've been a bad person in my life before. Let's take somebody who hasn't done too many sins. All right, Melody, let's look at you right there. I mean, she drank some NyQuil one time. It was really bad. Anyway, when we got together, like, woman, you got to loosen up a little bit, okay? We got to make it. So, you know, I take your drink of NyQuil. It's not going to send you to hell, I promise. So, anyway, she had a good account. I had a bad account. But the problem is, both of our accounts are guilty. Both of our spiritual accounts, doesn't make a difference if guilty. There was only one perfect account, and that was Jesus. You got the big R there. His account was righteousness. He who knew no sin. The Bible says he's the only one who's ever lived a perfect, sinless life. He was tempted as we were, but he did not give in to the temptation. Therefore, he was the only one who ever lived a perfect life. But the problem is Isaiah 64:6. Look what it says. All of us have become like one who is unclean. All of us have become unclean. And our righteousness acts are like filthy rags. See, when I think I'm righteous because I did right things, when I think I'm righteous because I acted right, it says those things are like filthy rags because that's not what makes us righteous. But the beauty of the story of God's grace is like this. My account now looks like this. The Bible teaches us right here. It has been accounted, meaning what? It has been deposited into my spiritual account. Look at this now. Jesus took my deposit and put it into his account on the cross. He took all of my sins and put it in his account. And when I believe in what he did on the cross, he takes his righteousness and he puts it into my account. Jesus switches deposits with our life. And now when the Father looks at you and I, he doesn't see my account full of sin. He sees my account the way his Son deposited righteousness into my account. Come on, give God a hand clap for that. That's amazing. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, in your account is righteousness. God has deposited into your account righteousness. So now when God looks at me, he looks through me the filter of his Son. I can't earn it. I don't deserve it. That's why it's called grace. And the last thing here as we get ready to close, it says, and then Abraham believed. He believed. Abraham believed. John 6:28, Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? See, something amazing happened right here. Jesus just reveals to his disciples and his followers that he is the bread of life. So their eyes are starting to come open that, all right, this is the Son of God. There's something to this man. He's doing these miracles, and we're seeing things happen, signs of wonder. This is the Messiah. And then they said to him, what shall we do now that we understand this? How can we do the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you, let's say it together, believe in him. This is the works that we do, that we believe in him who he sent. Do we believe that Jesus died on the cross? Do we believe that he died on the cross but was resurrected on Easter Sunday morning? Do you believe that? That's the works that we do. That's what Jesus said. Abraham was not saved because of his works. He was saved because of his faith that he believed in the Father. Do you believe today? They asked for it. Automatically, they want to earn it. How do we do this works, Jesus? How do we earn it? And Jesus said, no. The only works you got to understand is you got to believe. You got to believe that I am the Messiah. You got to believe. Jesus responded, believe in the one who sent me. In John 3:17, look what it says. For God did not send his son into the world to what? Say it again. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus did not come to give you a spirit of condemning you. He didn't come to make you feel guilty. He didn't come. Listen, once you receive Jesus Christ, once you believe that Jesus died for my sins on the cross, that he was buried and resurrected, the Bible says now I have been accounted to my life for righteousness. I am now made in right standing before God, not based off of my good works, not based off of anything other than what Jesus did on the cross. And when I understand that, that propels my life to say, God, I want to please you. God, I want to live for you. God, I'll quit living my life for everybody else's approval. Nobody else gave their life for me. Nobody else has the power to forgive my sins. Nobody else has gone away to prepare a place for me that when he comes back, I can go and spend eternity with him. This is our Savior. And when I understand this, grace is based off of my position. My righteousness is based off of Jesus and my relationship with him. It's not based on my performance. It sets me free. I don't want you living condemned. Listen, the only person that condemns you is Satan. He's the one that's going to make you feel guilty. He's the one that's going to fill your head. You're not good enough. God doesn't love you. Don't even try going to church. If they knew, they would ask you to leave. They knew how bad you really was. That's Satan filling your head with those thoughts. The Bible says that Jesus wants to set us free from those thoughts. I want you to bow your heads. Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you come to set us free. We thank you, Father, that you alone have made us righteous. We've been put in right standing with you because of what Jesus did on the cross. That all who believe that Jesus died for their sins, was buried and resurrected on the third day, that they would be saved and it would be accounted to them as righteousness. Father, I thank you. Today with every head bowed, I just want to ask you the question. I want to make sure there's nobody here. You say, I need to do that, Pastor. I've never accepted Jesus Christ in my life. How do I do that? You simply just say, God, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was resurrected on the third day. I'm going to believe and put my life into his hands and surrender my life to him. If you've never done that before, we're not going to embarrass you or single you out, but can you just lift it where I can see it? Let me know that you're ready to make that decision today. Come on, raise your hand high. I see the hand. Anybody else want to join them? Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. If you raised your hand, I want you to say this prayer with me. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I surrender all of my life to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only son. And from this day forward, I will live for you. In Jesus' name. Come on, say amen. You believe that? Stand on your feet this morning.